The Revo Convo, Episode 54, Visiting with TinyHouseLife.com. Hello and welcome to the Revo Convo. This is Episode 54, where we're visiting with Robert and Kelly of TinyHouseLife.com. And we're going to jump right into it today. Not a whole lot to talk about, but we're going to bring Robert and Kelly on the line and start talking to them about their project. They're at a very crucial time in their project. They're balancing full-time work, running a small business, as well as building their tiny house. And as many of us know, that's a very difficult juncture to be at, trying to balance your day-to-day with this side project and then keeping your budget balanced for wherever you're living at the current time. So let's talk to Robert and Kelly now and find out about tinyhouselife.com. Again, that's www.tinyhouselife.com. Robert and Kelly, are y'all there?
You're here.
Yep.
Oh, excellent. Thank you so much for joining us today on the Revo Convo. It is definitely our pleasure to have you.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, I want to introduce my lovely co-host, Laura Lavoie. Laura, how are you today?
I am doing great.
Fantastic. That's what I like to hear. And of course, I am recording in sunny Southwest Florida, where it is currently... It's a little bit cold today, guys, 79 degrees. And there's a few little clouds in the sky, but if I'm not mistaken, if I remember my 7th grade science, they are cumulonimbus clouds, so there's no threat there. Mm-hmm. Just beautiful, fluffy whiteness.
Yeah, it's a bright blue skies with zero clouds.
Great,
not
great.
70 degrees here in Charlotte.
Excellent. Now, and that brings up a good point, because that's one of the reasons that Laura and I wanted to contact you, is because you, my friends, are also part of the Tiny House North Carolina clan. Y'all wear the tartan plaid of the Carolinians. As we were joking with Sarah Myers yesterday on Facebook, she was talking about, she lives in Blacksburg, Virginia, and she was talking about she's in North Carolina so much now that maybe she should just move there. And so I told her well, she moved here. She had to, of course... Well, she said she should just move here and join the tiny house clan in North Carolina. And so I joked with her and I said, well, if you do that, you have to wear our tartan plaid. And so then she kind of backpedaled until Laura piped in and said, but our plaid is all the shades of beer. So it's...
Which I would totally wear.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, if North Carolina is known for nothing else, it's fine craftsmanship on everything from furniture pieces and beds all the way to microbrews. So Carolina's a great state, and we are happy to have y'all, Robert and Kelly, on the show today. So let's talk about this little project y'all got cooking. Y'all are building a tiny house trailer, which mm-hmm. is based mm-hmm. on a tumbleweed plan, correct?
Mm-hmm. It is, yep.
And now, are y'all building the ever-popular Fensel home?
Yeah, and I think they just changed the name, so...
Probably because they've heard me mock it so many times.
Yeah, they did. We started doing this probably a year ago, and it's actually amazing to see how much has changed, what all they've changed in over a year, so... By the time we get done with this house, I don't know what it'll actually be called.
Gotcha.
But when we bought it, it was actually called the Cypress 20.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The Fensel was on an 18-foot trailer.
Right.
And we wanted the 20-foot, and they had plans for the Cypress 20, which the mm-hmm. big secret of that plan was that the Cypress 20 was a 20-foot Fensel with the kitchen in the front.
Right, right.
And we didn't like the floor plan. So we changed the floor plan, or we're going to change the floor plan. So I don't actually know what it is. It's basically a 20-foot fence.
Yeah, and you know, if memory serves me correctly, in the world of tiny house financing, y'all are building a $60,000 house.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm looking that up right now, and Yeah, I'm looking it up right now, and if you were to purchase this house, it would be $456 a month based on 10% mm-hmm. down at 6% APR over 15 years.
Now, I will say, because we are building it, and so we've been building this for, I really don't want to say how long we've been building it, but we keep getting sidetracked with other projects, and, you know, if you figure out, because we own a business, and so if you figure out the time that it costs us to build the house and the plans and everything and then paying for it, and, you know, I mean, that's a lot of money, but it's not terrible. I don't know. It's the thing that made that make sense is now I think you can finance that.
Right.
Which up until now, everyone had to either build it or pay cash. And if you don't know how to build a house and you're not comfortable building it, you know, then you just have to chunk out a lot of money and cash all up front, because nobody will finance one at all.
Oh, no, no, there's not a, you couldn't walk into Bank of America, sit down with a mortgage broker and say, hey, I want to build a tiny house. They'll just kind of laugh at you.
Yeah, of course. That's usually how that goes.
Of course, you can always do what Laura and Matt did to build their tiny house, and that's just every time you walk by a vending machine, put your finger in the coin slot and start collecting spare change.
how we financed this.
Oh yeah, it only took them 32 years to get the money together.
Yeah, that was our business plan. Except it was we were going to do it with payphones, but there just aren't any anymore.
Yeah, so. It's tough. It's tough for sure. Yeah. You know, and that's where I want to kind of start with this conversation is that y'all are not, you know, there seems to be this, what do I want to call it? There seems to be kind of this, preconceived notion that, in the tiny house world, you know, all of us are hippies, gypsies, nomads, and otherwise who basically just want to live, you know, off the grid, under the radar, away from communities and Uncle Sam, and we want to create our own communes and, you know, get naked and bang the drum once our house is done. But y'all are actually tax-paying business owners, small business owners, mm-hmm. which is probably mm-hmm. the hardest thing in America to do next to being a... Laura, what is it we are? Consultants? Independent contractors. Yeah.
Independent contractors,
So next to being those sort of things, you know, it's a very difficult lot that y'all have just to keep the business running. So tell us a little bit about that. I mean, was that a hurdle at the beginning? I mean, was that something that y'all said, gosh, are we going to be able to balance this?
As far as involved?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Laura and I both know, and many of our listeners know, the time involved in building a tiny house. So when you're talking about having to open the shop and then close the shop and then, you know, work around the shop, you're not left with a great deal of time.
Yeah, that's very true. And I guess one of the reasons we even were looking at a tiny house is because we really don't spend a lot of time at home anyway. Mm-hmm.
Right.
It actually works to our schedule a little bit because we're able to. But it's definitely, it's not, you know, I look at some of the other people that are building these houses, and a lot of them, you know, were out of the country and moved in and didn't have a job for a year and saved up and just worked on their house full time, and we definitely can't do that.
So, right.
I don't know if I thought about it all that much because it may not have seemed like a good idea.
Yeah.
We knew it would be a big sacrifice because the only time, and this is how most people are, but, you know, we're at the shop all day from 8 o'clock to 6, and then we close, and then we have to continue and say, okay, well, we want to spend, you know, however many more hours here and keep working on the house and come in on the weekend, and it's almost like coming into work, so it's kind of like we're working at the business 7 days a week because that's literally where we're building the house.
Right.
So that's one of the hardest things for me is to get myself mentally in a place where I'm like, okay, we're done with work. But this is the house. Like, keep working. Okay, you're not still at work. Like,
right.
To get the motivation to keep doing that has been, for me, it's been one of the hardest parts. But,
And so y'all...
But at the same time, it's...
I was just going to say, and y'all own, is it auto body or auto mechanics? What kind of shop is it?
Yep, so we have a, it's an automotive garage. So we've got a couple of guys that work for us.
You even have, I'm going to interrupt you, because you even have, like, the automotive garage phone in the background. There's a very there's a very distinct ring to a mechanic's phone.
Well, and we tried to repair. You know, we put we sent all the guys to lunch. We put signs up on the door that said we're closed. We put the answering machine on for lunch, but evidently it was important because Kelly just ran up and answered the phone. So so she's coming back here in 2 seconds. But yeah, it's even got the. He was just saying we even have the. Required auto garage ringtone.
The only thing missing from the audio track today is the bell indicating that someone just pulled into your front lot.
Oh yeah, the old little air hose.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pull across in here. Ding ding.
Well, where I live in Carolina, our one service station, they still have the bell. So every time I pull up. And I'm friends with the owner, so I like to pull up and then back up and then pull up and then back up and then pull up.
I gotta tell you, when I went to college, I went to school in 2000. It was in South Carolina, and the first time I got gas, I pulled up to the gas station and got out, and this guy just walks up to me and just like gets about a foot and a half away from me and just stares at me. Really confused and really uncomfortable. Until I realized that this was the only pump in probably the state of South Carolina that was a full-service pump.
Oh, wow.
And he was coming out to pump my gas, and I had not seen a full-service pump in probably 6 or 7 years. And it was very confusing, and I just said, no, I'll do it myself. And he said, well, then go somewhere else because this pump's like 30 cents more expensive.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm very interested in the fact that little things like that in America have all but disappeared, because I have very fond memories of going to the filling station with my grandmother, and you know, she pulled into full service because she wanted them to, you know, just check her oil and fill her car up and all that sort of stuff. And I think, you know, there are occasions where that sort of service, you know, would be the difference between patronizing a place and not patronizing a place, because there are times where I would love to just, you know, like when the weather is nasty or something like that, I would love to just pull up and, you know, slide an extra $5 out my window so this guy could do everything for me. You know, and especially when they're older, because then I feel like they have stories they want to tell me, so I'll just like chat it up with them, you know. But look, I just had an idea while we were talking, because I'm sure the listeners at this point, Laura, correct me if I'm wrong, they're probably saying, what happened to the tiny house conversation? Why? What do I have, like, the go-kart channel on? What am I listening to? Yeah. If there's anything I am on this show, it's off topic. Let me tell you that.
That's a great way to describe you.
Yeah, we should totally just call this the stream of consciousness hour. Whatever Drew thinks about.
Robert was the wrong person to invite on the show then, I think, because he's just going to help you with that.
Yeah, see, and, you know, it's because I think, for me, the tiny house community resonates in so many different areas. It's not just about a house. It's not just about building. It's about how it fits into everyday life and what you think about and the changes in mentality you have. So I want to share this before I forget it, because I was thinking maybe y'all shouldn't build a tiny house. If you have an auto lift there in the shop, perhaps you could just build a small room underneath of the lift. So by day it disappears. And then, you know, at night you just lift the lift and there you have it. There's your little house.
Mm. And that would be brilliant, except we just realized our roof is not tall enough to even fit the tiny house.
Oh, wow. I'll look for that blog post later this week.
You know, I just took a video. It's going to go up on our YouTube channel. But somehow, when we started this project, our door was 13 foot 8 inches.
Uh-huh.
And we just put our first wall up, and we're looking at it, and we're thinking, that doesn't quite look tall enough for a roof. So we measured it again, and now it's somehow it's shrunk to 11.6.
Uh-huh.
So I think the roof will be put on outside.
Well, let me ask you this. I do want to ask you this. You've built the first wall. You're on the trailer. Is your trailer sitting on jacks, or are you just sitting on the wheels with the tongue jack down?
We've got, when I built the trailer, we welded leveling jacks. So we got four scissor jacks. so welded to it, and we leveled before we started. We leveled the whole trailer out.
So you're sitting on those four jacks right now.
Correct.
Okay.
But this is a discrepancy of like 2 feet.
I'm going to tell you that when you are done building and you drop it off the jacks for the first time, all of a sudden you're going to go, I thought this house was taller than what it is. our house took our trailer down 8 full inches when we took it off the scissor jacks. Because we had all of the weight off of the tires. They were barely touching the ground, and we leveled using our scissor jacks every single day when we started the build. So when we actually said, okay, it's time for the maiden voyage, and we dropped it, it just kept dropping. And I was like, what's happening?
What size trailer did you have? What was the rating on it?
I'd have to go back and look. We have a 30-footer. Our 30-footer is probably...
Oh, wow.
Well, our house only weighs 7,900 pounds, empty. The GVWR, the gross vehicle on it, is 8,450, I think. But our trailer was reconfigured to accommodate 25,000 pounds because, you know, I thought maybe I'd put a tank on it or something. I don't know.
I decided to put the armor plating around off later on.
Laura, when I say that out loud, I think to myself, why did I feel the need for that? 25,000 pounds? Like, seriously?
But, you know, well, Robert and Kelly, I think one of the things I like about your blog so much is that you're very transparent when it comes to mistakes and things, you know.
Oh, yeah.
When we built our tiny house, we kind of did the same thing. When we quote what we spent on our tiny house, we're like, well, that figure includes mistakes. So I love the way you're really transparent about that. So following this journey is really interesting for anyone who wants to know what it's really like to build a tiny house.
Yeah.
I feel like maybe the most important thing to tell people is the mistakes that you're making. Because if we knew other people's mistakes, then we easily could have avoided them. And Tumbleweed is a great company, but you can't exactly call them up and say, like, hey, what are all the things that are going to go wrong while I build this house?
You know, the way to avoid that, the way to, like, you know, combat that is to take the building plans, read it cover to cover, every step, and then just take a highlighter and start at the first word of the book and highlight till the end. And that will be the things that will go wrong.
All the things that go wrong, okay.
Talking about y'all's blog, I'm most specifically happy on your post, mistakes number one or whatever. I really enjoy your nailing technique. That's incredible.
Oh.
For anyone who has never seen creative nailing, as I'll call it, this would be a perfect picture. The only way it differs from my first real nailing job on our tiny house is that the webbing of your hand between the thumb and the pointer finger is not attached to the nail.
I heard about this.
Because, you know, the first time I shot the framing nail gun, I was doing a king stud, so I was holding two studs together, and I didn't realize where my hand was placed on the back side of it. So I shot through the two befores and then into the webbing, and that was interesting. It was an interesting time. Yeah, and it was, what makes it best is that it was caught on camera. Not still camera, moving video camera.
Video camera,
including
yeah.
including the slightly effeminate noises I made once having shot myself.
You probably didn't realize how much blood that little part of your hand could produce.
Oh, no kidding. It's unbelievable. Look, I want to give y'all an award, and only people from the South will appreciate this award, but I want to give you the award for most practical use of a lawn tractor. I think it's ingenious that you moved your trailer around with a lawn tractor, because, you know, everyone gets online and they talk about, well, should I rent a U-Haul, or is a half-ton pickup enough, or whatever? Oh, no. Let's just break it down to the lawn tractor. If you have a lawn tractor, you too can move your trailer around. So congratulations, you win the award for most creative use of a lawn tractor.
Thank you.
Unfortunately, I don't think that's going to work to get it out of that.
Yeah, probably not. Once you put that first wall on, I think you have exceeded the carrying weight of your lawn tractor.
The towing capacity of a lawn tractor?
That's my next blog post. The towing capacity of a lawn tractor.
So they make these, like, motorized, battery-powered devices you can hook up to a trailer and move it around your yard.
Mm-hmm.
But they're, like, $2,500. I mean, they're crazy expensive. And so while I'm struggling to build this house, I figure I could probably weld one of those together with a battery and a couple of pieces of metal for, like, $100. So I think that might be what we end up doing is building something. And if we do, we'll put it up on the blog. But we got months before we get to that point.
So I want to ask y'all a question. I want to ask, Kelly, this is directed at you. Tell me about the shed. What was the point of building the shed?
Well, we're building our trailer is parked, obviously, if you've seen the blog, our trailer is parked inside of the garage that we own and work out of in our last bay that we didn't need. Unfortunately, we are disorganized and kind of pack rat and have tools and old parts and stuff. So where that bay looks like a great space to build a house, it just has so much stuff in it. So we said, well, we need to move some of the stuff out of the way. The prefab sheds that you buy at, like, the Home Depot and Lowe's, they're either really expensive or they're not great. And we figured, well, we've never really built anything. We're about to build a house that we need to live in safely. So why don't we do a practice round with the shed that if it collapses, we really don't lose anything. So Robert built it by himself. I helped a little bit. Enough to get with a lot of fiberglass insulation kind of stuck in my leg. That's how much I helped. But it worked out great. He built the shed. So far, it hasn't fallen over. All of our stuff's in there, and that basically cleared the way for us to work inside the shop. So it was kind of kill two birds with one stone.
Well, let me ask y'all then, have you found that having the shed has actually been, even though it was a bit more project and it was a little more expense, has it been beneficial to have the shed in terms of your tiny house build?
That's a me question. Okay. Ironically, we don't actually store anything for the tiny house in the shed. It has all of the other junk that we needed to get out of the shop order to put it in there. So I do, like, club racing. Like, I race cars as a hobby.
Mm-hmm.
And so right now that shed is completely filled with basically old car parts and junk, basically. But as far as an educational exercise, it was immensely helpful. And it's still standing, and it's still dry, and the roof hasn't collapsed. And it was a good refresher as to how to cut wood. I can cut metal and weld all day long, but you can't build a tiny house out of steel. So,
can on his trailer.
Oh, if I had the 25,000-pound trailer, I probably could.
Yeah.
But,
gosh. I was thinking about using our tiny house for a remake of the A-Team, and we were going to weld stuff to it and put a gun on top and that sort of thing and go from there.
Go back to very Mad Max. We could just bolt car parts onto it and barbed wire.
It'll probably sell faster.
That's true, actually.
Laura, I was just thinking if we had built a shed prior to our tiny house build, it would have become a walk-in cooler. I think that's the only thing I would have used it for. I would have made it a refrigerated room so that I could keep all of the essentials for the post-build.
Yeah, very true.
Kelly, I want to add to your, you know, you took a picture and put it on Instagram, which on the blog post for this podcast, there will be a link to y'all's Instagram account because you keep a lot of good tiny house pictures on that. I just want to let you know I did a little bit of research, and actually, tar paper is not exactly toxic. However, it is made of fiberglass fleece, which is soaked in bitumen. And bitumen or bitumen, however you want to pronounce it, is kind of a, well, it's not kind of, it is. It's a black, oily, viscous material. It's an organic byproduct of decomposed organic materials. So if you want to get really technical, it's organic. But if you want to if you want to talk about its properties against your skin, I would probably say you don't want to like create a futon mattress out of tar paper.
Well, gosh, I was itchy for so long.
Yeah,
and it was that at the time it was warm, so it was mosquitoes
right.
be like what could you eat was making us the most uncomfortable.
Yeah,
ever.
Well, and it's interesting if you had killed them not on your skin but on the tar paper because of the high levels of actual distilled petroleum that's on the tar paper, they would have slid right off. So I'm hoping that makes you feel tons better about having your skin exposed to the felt paper. I want to point back to very early on in y'all's process, you did a video, Kelly, for about 10 minutes, which in my opinion, considering I have the attention span of a 3-year-old, yeah, it was a little long, only because, not because it wasn't good content, but because you said in your description it was probably a little long, and I just agreed with you. But I want to point back to that because you mentioned in it... I just realized I turned around completely away from the microphone. So
okay, thank you.
Sorry. I'm like,
we're both leaning in as hard as we can,
all of a sudden I'm like across the street, wondering why no one's talking back to me. So look, I want to point back to that video because interestingly, on that video, you talk about something that we in the tiny house community often talk about, and that is the initial explanation of. You know, family and friends, trying to get them to grasp the concept of tiny houses and why y'all would want to do that. In the course of the year that y'all have been building, have you seen that attitude change? Have you seen more people really get on board or even start thinking about it for themselves?
Oh, yeah, so much. Like, all of my friends, and I would say our families are mildly interested. Robert's mom is especially interested because we're working with her right now, so she's really but our friends, yeah, everyone that we've talked to, where at first they were a little confused or maybe even didn't think it was a great idea. Now I pretty much only receive positive feedback when I talk to people about it. You know, because of the Instagram, because of everything we have on the internet, people at my church and, you know, friends, whenever I hang out, people are always asking about it. They want to know how it's going. They want to hear about what we're doing. And they think it's really cool. So it's awesome because since I made that video, I would say it's turned around 100%. And people are much more supportive and much less confused than they were back then.
And what's funny is that we started this process off looking at building a 600-square-foot cottage.
Mm-hmm.
And we got nothing but pushback from everybody we told. That was just the craziest thing ever. And I don't know that we ever got a single positive reply. But once we started, some people were building 120, 140 square foot house. Probably at least half the people like the idea right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other half come around. We actually have more people telling us, oh, that's neat. I had so many old people scold me for trying to build a 600 square foot house that I just been lying about what we were doing.
Yeah.
That's really interesting that, and I think it's because we are a nation of extremes. So I think that more people can understand 3,000 square feet or 300 square feet than they can 1,000 square feet or 1,100 square feet. Because we've been told for, you know, since the mid 50s that an 1,100 square foot house is a great starter house. I think a lot of it has to do, too, with the moniker that we give it. When you just say you're building, you know, a house that's this many square feet, people have kind of this preconceived notion of what that house should be in relation to where you are in your marriage or starting a family or something like that. Tack on a name like cottage or cabin or trailer, and all of a sudden they still think you're nuts, but you get a little less... You know, you get a little more understanding because they're like, oh, it's something, you know, and they start to picture in their head maybe a storybook they read or, you know, this idea of Walden Woods or something like that. And so they're much more inclined to understand that. But you know, when you say, oh, we're going to build, you know, a house that's going to be this many square feet, then they start to go, oh, that'll be a great starter house. But, you know, once you have a kid, you'll have to do this and have to do that. Yeah. I mean, for Laura, it was when she was building, and I've often thought this, Laura, did people say to you, you know, when your cat grows fur, you're going to have to get a bigger house?
Oh, my gosh.
We will have room for...
Is it Piglet?
Yeah, yes. It's Piglet. She's hairless.
Piglet, yes. There's not many. And so this is actually interesting because what we try to put on our blog or what we try to put out there is the stuff that we have had trouble finding ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So we put our budget out there. We put our mistakes out there. And hopefully, once this house is built, we're going to put out what it's actually like to live in it.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's what we have a lot of trouble finding. Is there's only a few people that we've found that really continuously talk about what it's like to live in the house after they live in it.
Right.
And so we've already, you know, and Laura only has, I think, what, 3 or 4 videos, and I think 2 of them are Piglet. But we've done
well. Well, and I totally agree with that, and that was one of my goals when I started. You know, we built it, but then a lot of other blogs end when the building process is done. It's just over, and I wanted to keep writing about it. But the interesting challenge comes then is once you're actually living in it, it kind of isn't a novelty anymore. It's just home, you know. So I ran out of things to write about. I'm like, I'm at home.
I've started many, many, many blog posts that have never been published that all begin with the same sentence. Tonight I rented this movie from iTunes and we started to watch it.
Exactly.
And then I stopped the post because I'm like, nobody cares. But no, I applaud you on that effort because to my knowledge, Tiny Revolution was the first blog, tiny house blog, to put the unadulterated, unfiltered budget on the internet. Everything down to, you know, our screws, our boxes of screws and boxes of nails. So I applaud you for that because you'll find that a lot of people will visit that page if for nothing else than to see, is it feasible? Why does a company charge X amount of dollars when you can build it for this? You know, that's always an argument. I also applaud your desire to, you know, answer questions that you're looking for. I think the best blog content I've read is when people find the answer to one of their own problems because they're much more invested in it. Laura does a lot of posting now about, you know, cooking in the kitchen and the 5 things that she really needs in the tiny house and stuff. And you can tell she's invested in that as opposed to, oh, top 5 washer and dryers for the tiny house. Neither she nor I have a washer dryer. So what the heck do we know about a washer and dryer?
Right.
You know, I can tell you all about the laundromat, but who wants to read about that?
Right.
So I think it's great. I think it really is. And I just want to remind people that's www.tinyhouselife.com. And we are talking today to Robert and Kelly of tinyhouselife.com. And they are at a very crucial time in their build. They're starting to get the walls up. So let me ask you in closing, guys, because our time is drawing nigh, as it were. Let me ask you in closing, what's next? I mean, where are we headed here? You feel like you've gotten a pace now? You got some clear time? We're going to start seeing walls pop up left and right? You might have 6, 7, 8 walls. Who knows?
As much as I would love to say that we're on a schedule and that we are going to get things done right away, I don't know if that's ever going to happen for us. I think that we just have a lot going on, and we're not hurried because we're in a good situation with Robert's mom where we don't feel, you know, obviously we want to get out and be on our own, but...
Attention, Robert's mom, if you're listening to this podcast, they think that you like them being there.
Quasi-hurried.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But we're not, like, under the pressure of a lease running out or, you know, there is no, hey, you have to by this time. So that's good and that's bad because we have, like Robert says, he races cars as a hobby and... You know, so I don't know if we'll ever have, like, you know, obviously we're going to keep working on the walls and then look to figure out now what we thought we would be doing 100% indoors. Now we have to figure out, okay, our roof is going to be too tall for the door that we want to get it out of. So where do we need to move it? Where do we need to work on it from there? That's probably going to be the next big challenge for us.
Right.
Yeah, we actually, hopefully, I'm the optimist for sure. we actually have So the way the house is, there's six walls if you include the door. We've got five of them already built, sheathed, and ready to go on the trip.
Okay.
So we're actually building the sixth kind of a long wall right now. And then once we get, the only reason we stood the one wall up is because we didn't have anywhere else to put it. Mm-hmm. So,
well, so. I can tell you this, and this is from personal experience as well as talking with many, many, many other tiny housers. The ones that give up their passions and their interests in order to build their house faster are the ones who ultimately do not enjoy the tiny house the way they thought they would. The tiny house should be part of your life. It shouldn't be your life. So I applaud those things, and I say keep them up. Laura's a good example as well. Her and Matt never gave up the things they enjoy doing just to build the house. Of course, they had they brought the party to them on some weekends. You know, you've got to stay focused on what your passions are and what drives you. Otherwise, you're doing nothing but just building a house. And at that rate, you might as well just buy one.
True. Yeah, it makes sense. It gets old quick, definitely, if you're stressed about putting it all together.
Absolutely.
We're enjoying it, right? You're having fun.
Yeah,
I
like it.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, we are so happy y'all joined us today. Thank you so much. It's always good to just hear from another family or another couple that's building and just to... You know, to keep things into perspective, because we don't want people to get too far along with the dreaming process and forget that at some point you've got to wake up and start putting the hammer to nail. So it's great to talk to y'all today. I want to thank you for taking time out of your schedule to join us on the podcast. Laura, did you have any closing words?
No. It's really great to talk to you guys. You know, it's fun for me to read the stories of people kind of coming through the same concepts and ideas that I had and that Matt and I have when we decided to start building. So it's great to read other people having that same kind of epiphany that this is something that's going to be perfect for their lives.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. All right, guys, well, thank you so much again for being on the Revo Convo. We appreciate it, and we wish you the best as y'all continue to build, and we'll be tracking you on the interwebs.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you very much, guys.
So what'd you think, Laura? What'd you think of Robert and Kelly?
They're super fun people.
Totally, totally.
I'd love to get to know them, like go out for a beer.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, that's part of what we do here on the podcast. We get to know people and, if we could take them out. No, I'm not even going to say that on this broadcast, Laura, because then people might want to start meeting up with us, so we'll take them out or something. I will gladly be the guest of any guest if they want to take us out for something.
Absolutely.
I'm a firm believer in being a gracious guest. I think being a gracious host is overrated, so I'm now going to become a gracious guest.
I think that's a beauty. You can start you can travel around the country visiting other tiny houses.
I could.
That could be your thing.
You know, I would love if, I don't know how much Crystal would love this, but if we hit the road full time at some point, I would love to have our RV wrapped with a company thing and it'd be like the tiny house tour.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it'd be awesome. I mean, I'm not excellent at video, but I'm pretty good at video, even though there's other guys that do the video stuff. But, you know, just to be able to talk with folks and do a little video and just hear their stories, you know, I think it would be very cool to, and maybe cut it down to like, I think I introduced a lot of y'all to my buddy Theron 2 years ago that was doing this wild idea where he was, you know, traveling around the country and every day he interviewed a different person, but it was only for 3 minutes. So he would ask them kind of the same 5 or 6 questions. And it was just very interesting to see all the different stories that came out of that. So it'd be cool to come up with like a, you know, have the tiny house community kind of vote on and come up with the questions to ask people, and then someone go around and interview these folks and ask them those questions. So hey, who knows? Who knows? Maybe somebody out there will hear it and go, "That's a cool idea. I'm gonna be a gracious host so that Drew can practice being a gracious guest."
It sounds awesome.
It does. So Laura, we just talked with Robert and Kelly, and they're with tinyhouselife.com. Did I say that right? Did I say their website right? I hope I did.
Yes.
Okay. So yeah, so we just talked with them, which is always very cool to talk to a new family or a new couple that's doing something. But what do we know that's already happening? What do we know about? Let's talk about some updates. Let's update some people. How about it?
All right.
So let's do this like a game show. I'll go first. I'll throw out a tiny house project, and you see if you can give me an update, and then we'll switch. You throw one out, and I'll see if I can update you.
Okay.
All right, so I'll go first. So I'm gonna start with an easy one, just to get us warm. Macy Miller, what's up with on the Miller front?
Well, the super exciting and very, very soon news is that she's about to welcome her daughter, Minnie Miller, into the world. But then I did hear some news, and I don't know if it's public yet, about a pretty awesome experience for her coming up in September.
Oh, yes, I know what you're talking about. I will tell the people listening, it involves a national magazine and some of her actual passions and her training, which is not tiny house building, but very closely related. That was a pretty good hint, right?
Yeah, that was. Yeah. I think people will be waiting with bated breath until September to find out what that is.
Or at least going to her page on Facebook and trying to find out what it is.
Right, exactly.
Totally.
Then we were the ones to spill the beans, to be totally fine.
That's right. I'm not a bean spiller. I'm a gracious guest. All right, so it's your turn. You now throw one out to me.
Oh, goodness. I'm looking. Well, I heard a rumor about Tiny House Magazine. Is there an update that you know about Tiny House Magazine?
Well, I do know that the iOS version came out 2 days ago for issue 14, which it was a little late coming out because of Apple. And I think everyone is familiar with my distaste for Apple right now. You like what I did there? Distaste for Apple.
My distaste for Apple.
But I think it's been ironed out. But there is another little rumor, and I won't substantiate it, but I'll just kind of mention it. There is investigation into bringing the magazine to other platforms, most specifically Android and Nook.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
That would be great when that happens.
Totally.
Or if that happens, if it hasn't happened, or is it going to happen?
Say that again?
We're not substantiating anything, so it may or may not happen.
You got that right. I'm not substantiating anything. All right, so I guess it's my turn now, right? So, let's see. What about, do you remember Tiny Quality Homes, when we talked to Tiny Quality Homes?
I do.
What's up? They just had a recent update. What's that about? Tell me. Can you tell me? Do you know?
Wait, can I Google fast enough?
I don't know. Can ya?
I don't know if I can. I'm trying. No, apparently I can't. You might have to tell me what the news is for Tiny Quality Homes.
I can tell you that Tiny Quality Homes posted pictures this morning on Facebook. They got their tiny house onto its location in their on their land in Tennessee. So it is actually where it's going to live out its life. And they're now preparing to put some foundation under it, some posts. I think they're going to do cinder block piers like we did and to strap it down.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
It's very cool. I'm waiting to see some more interior pictures of that because it was definitely an impressive, impressive house.
I cannot wait for that.
All right, it's your turn. Go. Shoot for the stars.
My turn. Well, I wonder how many people in the tiny house community are currently keeping up with our friend Christy Wolf of Tiny House on the Prairie. What do you know about Christy?
Oh, gosh. I saw a picture just this weekend. She spent her first night in the tiny house the tiny house on stilts. Or what are we even calling that thing? What is she calling it?
She called it a tree house, even though it technically does not involve any trees.
Right. So, yeah, because she started out by cutting trees down. So,
it's a tree replacement house.
Yeah, let's call it Tiny House Tree House Sans Tree. So the news is that she spent her first night in the tiny house treehouse sans tree, and she has some of the windows in, which she went with plexiglass for a lot of the windows for a number of reasons. And she's got the floor in, and of course the ceiling. So, and she's got the sheetrock mudded and mudded, taped, and sanded. So she's getting very close to making that sucker really habitable.
Awesome. You know, I cannot wait to go check that for myself, because that means we can go to Hawaii.
I think all of us are in that same boat. We're like, so when do you want us to come and inspect it for real?
Exactly. We will gladly test it out in various ways.
Yeah, totally, totally. I will let you know whether or not it's worthy. So, all right, let's do one more. We'll do one more. It's my turn to quiz you. We'll do one more, and then we'll move on from there. Let me ask you about, Oh, I know. I saw a picture this weekend, so maybe you know about it. Tell me about, our buddy Ryan Mitchell. Any updates on his project?
Oh, well, let's see. What do we have from Ryan? This project. Are you talking about his interior walls?
I could possibly be talking about that, yes.
Well, I know that he finally got around to doing the interior walls of his tiny house, but he had a little bit of a challenge. They did not respond to moisture very well, so there was a bit of a mistake. They sort of bowed out by themselves, and he had to redo them. So now he's working on ways to make that happen, climate control the house, and not have any more problems.
All right. Well, good for him, man. I know it's... I can remember when we pulled wire and I was able to flip that first switch. It was like... Oh, gosh. I'm about to throw another pun out there. It was like night and day.
Right. No pun
until
yes pun.
No pun. Yeah, so it was cool. Good for him. Hey, if you're out there listening to this podcast right now and you want to know about some of your favorite tiny house projects and have us challenge us, if you will, to come up with the updates, please do feel free to email us. You can contact me at andodom@gmail.com, or you can reach Laura at
lmlaoie@gmail.com.
Yeah, we would love to let you know what's going on. And so let's just close out. I just want to remind everyone that there's a couple of great things coming up. Relax Shacks, of course, is having a workshop in April. Tiny House Conference coming up in April. At the end of March, we have Boneyard Studios in Washington, D.C. They're going to be hosting a workshop there. We've got the Tiny House Family, which is Hari and Carl Berzins. They are having a wonderful e-course on building a mortgage-free home that's going to be starting real soon. And you can actually register for that on tinyrevolution.us. Lots of good books coming out. We're very much anticipating the April release of Dee Williams' latest book. You can pre-order a copy of that now on Amazon.com. So we're very excited about that. Just a lot of stuff. You know, spring is a time of growth and rebirth and that sort of thing, and I think it's true in the tiny house community. We're going to see a lot of activity this spring and a lot of opportunities for you to make your tiny dreams come true. And in the meantime, Laura and I are just going to keep on renting iTunes movies at night and wondering why we put that shelf in that position. Absolutely. Well, Laura, hey, thanks for being with me again today, as you are every week, religiously. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, as always, for hosting the Tiny Revolution podcast.
I am not a host. I am but a guest, but a gracious one at that. So, ladies and gentlemen, this has been episode 54 of the Revo Convo. I am your gracious guest, Andrew Odom, and I'm joined by...
Laura Lavoie.
We thank you, and we will see you on the next podcast.